Good evening, everyone. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. Tonight, I'm going to be your host. Byron Belizos, our wonderful host, will return on April 21st with our next teleseminar, Economics 101. This week, I'm hosting as we continue our final series on precious metals with a very special guest, James Turk. Our series started 2 weeks ago with Precious Metals 101, which was an introduction to saving and transacting with precious metals. Last week, we met with Franklin Sanders, who's a precious metal dealer in my home state of Tennessee. Our series started 2 weeks ago with Precious Metals 101, an introduction to saving and transacting with precious metals. Last week, we met with Franklin Sanders, a precious metals dealer in my home state of Tennessee, who publishes the Money Changer newsletter and discussed savings and transacting with silver and gold coins. Tonight we learn about digital gold, a powerful new invention in the precious metal world from James Turk, who's the founder of Gold Money, a leading digital gold company. James is also the publisher of the Free Market Gold and Money Report and author with John Rubino of a very excellent new book, The Coming Collapse of the Dollar and How to Profit from It, published in December by Doubleday. James is based in New Hampshire and London, but this week so far I've spoken with him in New Orleans. He's going to be talking to us now from New Jersey, so this is a man who knows many places. As always, we have a Q&A period beginning after about 1 hour when James and I will take questions posted by you, the audience, before and during the program. We have a very big audience, a great turnout tonight, so please send your questions and any comments you have on the show to info@solari.com. That's info, I-N-F-O, at Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I.com. And so we're going to, on the hour, we'll start taking the questions, and I know you'll have some wonderful ones. Before we get going, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about James Turk. At the event resource page, you've all received the URL link for the event resource page, and there's links to James' websites, both for his newsletter and Gold Money, and his bio is on his newsletter. But I'd like to just talk a little bit more about it. There's a lot of negative news today about the economy. We've had a wonderful turnout for these precious metal series because many people are concerned and looking for a way to move away from saving and transacting in dollars, including because of the corruption in the financial system. I feel it's very important to understand that the problem is not just what financial tools we're using. For example, are we using fiat currency like the dollars, or are we using gold and silver instead? But who are the people governing our resources day to day? For this reason, I want to connect the Solari Network with leaders in the financial markets who are people of real integrity, who've moved out of the old systems and committed themselves and their work to building practical alternatives that build a new way for all of us. And it's really people who lead. Franklin Sanders is such a person, and we heard from him last week. So is James Turk. I met James through Bill Murphy, who's the fearless leader of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, GATA, and the proprietor of La Metropole Café. The first time I heard James speak was in London in 2001. He explained the history of the entire Western economy in 1 hour. It was amazing. It was one of the most simple, straightforward synthesis I'd ever heard, and ever since then I've been describing Western economy in one sentence as the central banking warfare model, thanks to James. But I walked away that day feeling like I had a much better understanding of how my world worked, and in fact I feel that way every time I have the opportunity to learn from James, and so it's a real pleasure to have him join us tonight. James, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Catherine.
Okay. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is I'd love for you to give our listeners a history of sort of how you came up with the idea of digital gold and then founded Gold Money.
Okay, I'd be happy to do that. First of all, let me just say that sound money has been a part of my life ever since I was a child. I'm a first-generation American. And my grandfather came to the United States in the early 1920s with my father, who was 13 at the time, after my grandfather was wiped out by the Austrian hyperinflation after the First World War. So I had it drummed into my head as a child exactly what sound money was about. But it wasn't until I actually started working, traveling internationally, when I really understood how the monetary system works today. And the ideas for gold money actually go back to the 1970s when I was working with the International Department of the Chase Manhattan Bank. I've lived in 6 different countries. I've traveled to over 40. And in the 1970s, there was a monetary problem that happened, and I thought, well, let me see if I can understand what the problem was and then come up with a solution for it. And the ideas that are embedded today in gold money actually go back to 1979. Back then, the technology didn't exist to make gold money possible, and to be quite honest, I never thought gold money would happen in my lifetime because I never thought the technology would move as fast as it had. But throughout the 1980s, I continued to refine the idea. I didn't let go of it because I saw it to be very powerful. And by the early, by the early 1990s, I realized that the technology to make gold money possible was becoming a reality. So I started carving out intellectual property at that time and applied for the first patent application, U.S. patent application, in February of 1993, well before the commercial possibilities of the Internet were realized. But it was clear to me that this is the way that money, and more specifically currency, was evolving. And that first patent application was subsequently approved in September 1997. We launched Gold Money 4 years ago. We're now storing nearly about $47, $48 million worth of gold on behalf of clients or customers in over 100 countries around the world.
Now Gold Money is based in the British Channel Islands.
Yes, it was purposefully chosen. Most of my experience in my business career has been in international banking and finance. I'm quite familiar with the Channel Islands from my days at Chase. We wanted to be located in a jurisdiction that was perceived as being politically neutral around the world so that any money or currency operating from that jurisdiction would not be subject to political whim, as it often is in major industrialized countries, because if currency is subject to political whim, that destroys the purpose of currency or money, which is to be a neutral tool in commerce so that people can interact with one another with just on the basis of the currency itself without any kind of outside influences affecting it. The other thing that's important about Jersey is that it's a 700-year-old sovereign independent country that's still based on original concepts of Anglo-Saxon common law. And that's important to gold money because the principal basis upon which Anglo-Saxon common law is built is property rights. So to have an effective currency system, you have to have a strong rule of law built upon property rights. So that was another reason for operating in Jersey.
Now, I was hoping you could walk us through, literally take us, we can do it in our imagination, go into the website, which is goldmoney.com. And if I've never, let's assume for a second that I've never experienced digital gold at all. I'm a complete newcomer, and I'm a newcomer to gold. So I come into the website. How do I start?
Well, the easiest thing, even before we get to the website, is it requires a very simple change in thinking. Gold money is like online banking, except your account, instead of being denominated in dollars and cents, is denominated in gold grams and mills. These are actual weights of gold that you own stored in London, England. That's
and,
the way your
and
account
what's
is
a,
denominated.
And what's a gram?
A gram is the most popular measure of gold outside the United States. We use troy ounces, as it is used in most areas that were under the influence of the British Empire. The term troy ounce is a legacy of the British Empire, but most countries around the world use grams as a weight of gold. There are approximately 31 grams per ounce, and a gold gram at current exchange rates is about $13.50 per gram.
Okay.
And then for precision, that gram is divided up into mills. There are 1,000 mills in a gram, so 1 mill is about 1.3 pennies, and 1,000 mills equal 1 gold gram.
So let's say if I want to deposit $1,000 in your gold money bank, so to speak, how do you determine how much gold I buy?
First let me say we are not a bank.
Right.
And I stress that fact because we created gold money so that we wouldn't be a bank and
right.
people could transact with the currency outside the banking system.
Right.
There are a number of ways to actually purchase gold through gold money. The easiest is to instruct us to debit your bank account. You instruct us to instruct your bank to actually pull the amount of money that you wish to purchase out of your bank account. So we can do any amount. So for as a practical matter, let's say you want to try gold money out and you purchase, want to purchase $50 worth of gold.
Uh-huh.
You go to the Gold Money website, goldmoney.com. First thing you have to do is open an account, which is free to do.
Uh-huh.
You'll see new free sign-up. Fill out the little form online, and you will immediately receive by email an account number and a temporary passphrase. With that account number and temporary passphrase, you now go back into Gold Money, log into your account, that number remains, and change your passphrase so it's only known to you or whoever you want to have the ability to operate that account. And you now have an account at Gold Money.
Uh-huh.
Now, to actually purchase gold, it's quite clear on the website once you're logged into your account how to go about it. You just click the Buy tab, how much you want to purchase, and we actually transact in four different currencies, but let's use for sake of example U.S. dollars. 50 U.S. dollars, you purchase it at the current prevailing rate at that time. There's a markup above the spot rate, and that's just like purchasing any foreign currency. You have a bid and the ask, and the size of the spread depends on the size of the transaction and the status of the account and a few things like that. But it's much less expensive to purchase gold through Gold Money because of the economies of scale and the fact that the Internet makes things possible to avoid the expenses associated with dealing with small bars and coins and things of that nature.
Now, so let's say I've made my purchase of gold. Where is my gold, and is it legally my gold, or?
Yes, at all times, what I recommend when you open any account is to read the user agreement, and it clearly specifies in the user agreement that the title to the gold remains in your name at all times. There's no, you're not taking any credit risk of gold money or anything like that. In effect, what we're doing is storing that gold on your behalf, and enabling you to have access to that gold online and to the other Gold Money users if you want to use that gold as a form of currency by clicking it from your account to someone else's account within the system.
And are there any audit or other procedures that assure us that the gold's really there, that this is not another fiat system?
Yes, exactly. First of all, the gold right now is stored in London, England, which is obviously a major gold center in the world. The gold is insured by Lloyd's of London, and it's one part of a very strong governance procedure that we put into place. When I was still designing and creating and thinking about Gold Money, you know, years ago, I thought through how am I going to provide people with the assurance of integrity that Gold Money is a solid system, that their gold is safe, as secure as it can possibly be. And, you know, a number of people said, well, you know, go for government regulation. And I didn't want to do that because government regulation is a failed form of regulation. Banks, you know, go under all of the time. You've seen what's happened in this country with Enron, what's now happening with Fannie Mae and things of that nature. The reason why government regulation fails is there's no profit incentive to make government regulation work.
Right.
It's driven by politics rather than bottom line profit. So what I did is I've created a concept which I call free market regulation. Gold money is a process. So imagine, if you will, this process is like a pie, and we divide that pie into several different slices. Each slice is given to what we call a third-party service provider. They are our business partners. So Viamat, which is the vault operator that owns and operates the vault, they're one part of the pie. Euro Dutch Trust Company, which is part of the Fortis Bank Group, is another part of the pie, as is ASL Trust Company, which is a registered trust company in Jersey, as is Lloyd's, as is Deloitte & Touche, which audits all of this. The way Gold Money works is that we at Gold Money don't actually operate it. It's operated by all of these third-party service providers, and they do two things. They contribute their expertise in that particular area that's necessary to make the process work. And here's the important part. Each service provider is watching over all of the other service providers in the process to make sure that no one's cheating. So it's a very, very effective form of regulation because these are all first-class companies. They're all driven by a profit incentive. They want to deliver the best possible product so that they make a profit and stay in business. And what we at Gold Money do is we just supervise this process to make sure that everybody's contributing in the way they're supposed to. And then the whole thing is audited by Deloitte & Touche at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
So what we've created is, I think, a very strong governance procedure to provide those assurances of integrity that your gold is indeed safe. Now, there's one other thing that I want to mention. Right now, all of your gold is stored in London, and I do believe that diversification is an important concept in terms of looking at one's portfolio.
Uh-huh.
What we're going to be implementing later this year is what we call multi-vaults, so that you'll be able to store gold in different parts of the world, Western Australia, Switzerland, Canada, London, and perhaps one or two other locations as well.
Uh-huh.
So, and you will know at all times where your gold is stored. And if you, for example, don't want to store your gold in Canada, you can move it to Switzerland or move it to Western Australia or diversify among all of the vaults.
In a sense, and someone in a relatively short period of time can open an offshore way, an account, if you will, to basically store their money.
Exactly. And, you know, I created Gold Money because I wanted a place, I wanted to be able to transact and store gold conveniently and economically myself. So I built it to my own high standards in terms of how I would want Gold Money to operate for me to feel comfortable and safe with it. And one of the elements of it is, you know, this international or global diversification. I deal with this a little bit in the book that in the 1930s, gold was stolen by the federal government in the United States.
Right.
I would like to make a note that only about 40% of it was actually turned in, and that was because it was in the banking system at the time. You know, most law-abiding Americans realized that that was an unconstitutional act, and they did not turn in their gold.
Right.
But the point is that you do want to have some global diversification with, you know, nest egg assets in different parts of the world for safety reasons, particularly in this global economy that we have today.
Last week, Franklin, one of the points Franklin said, he said, I don't know why people talk about global currency. We have a global currency. It's called gold and silver.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's a global money. What gold money is doing is making gold a global currency once again. You know, coins were the gold currency of the 19th century. There was effectively no gold currency in the 20th century, and we believe that gold money is going to make gold currency in the 21st century.
Now, if you go back to 1690 when the Bank of England started paper currency, so to speak, using gold.
Right.
You're issuing gold certificates.
Right.
In one sense, what you're doing is remarkably like what happened in 1690.
Yeah, let me explain this point, because this is really sort of important to understand the difference between money on the one hand and currency on the other.
Uh-huh.
Up until the Bank of England was formed in 1694, money and currency were one and the same thing. They were an asset, usually gold and silver, but other things were used. For example, in the colonies, tobacco was used, and you know, cattle and things like that have also been used as a form of money. And that gold and silver or whatever circulated, whatever that asset was, it circulated hand to hand. So money and currency were one and the same thing.
Right.
What the Bank of England did is they had an important technological innovation. They realized that it was difficult to move gold and silver around, particularly in the expanding global economy that was developing. And what they chose to do is leave the gold in the vault and then issue a paper banknote, you know, paper currency.
Right.
What that ended up doing is it changed the fundamental nature of currency. Currency was no longer a tangible asset. It was an IOU of a bank. It became, instead of an asset, it now became a liability of a financial institution.
Right.
So the currency that we use today is not money. It's
right.
A money substitute.
Right.
Only when you use gold as a form of currency are you actually using a form of money as currency, because you
right.
need an asset to pay for another asset. If I use any kind of a bank paper or, you know, government paper currency, the exchange isn't extinguished, because if I give you dollar bills, for example, the exchange is only extinguished when you take those dollar bills and buy some asset with them. And that's what creates a whole series of complex payment risks that we now have in the global system, which goes back to what I was studying back in the 1970s to come up with the gold money idea. And that payment risk brings in a lot of additional risks that we want to avoid. And that's what you do avoid by using sound money like gold.
Now, you have a monthly savings plan, which is of great interest to us. So I was hoping you would take some time and describe that.
Yeah. It's a savings plan. We call it an accumulation plan. And what you're doing is you're buying gold as a form of savings day in and day out. We all know the importance of saving money. The problem today is saving dollars doesn't really help, because on a after inflation and the low interest rates that you're getting on your dollars, you end up worse off at the end of the year than you did by holding that savings because of inflation and dollar debasement. So
right.
What this is, our gold accumulation plan, is a form of gold savings where every month you're taking money and putting it aside in terms of gold. And we offer special rates to enable people to do that, because we see building wealth and building savings to be very, very important for individuals from a long-term point of view.
And the minimum we can do is
$50? $50 a month.
Is there any sort of round lot needed so it can be 50 or 51 or 50?
Yeah, there are choices when you actually go into the website. It's 50, 100, 250. But we are in the process of a software upgrade, and later this year we're going to give more options to the choices.
And you do it by automatic deduction?
Yes, it's like if you have your bank account is set up to pay something automatically every month. On the 15th of every month, $50 or whatever amount you choose is automatically deducted from your bank account. You purchase gold at the spot rate. So it's sort of like a long-term dollar cost averaging accumulation plan, and you're saving gold rather than U.S. dollars.
It's funny, at the event resource page, we have that wonderful chart that I found that you put up on gold money of the showing the deflation of the dollar since 1913 in the beginning of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And the only thing I could think is, wow, if I'd been in the monthly saving plan since 1913,
well,
I'd be so rich.
Yeah, well, you know, that brings up an interesting point, because there are probably a number of people listening in thinking that, well, old enough to remember when gold was at $35 an ounce,
uh-huh.
You know, if I had only been buying gold at $35 an ounce. The reality is that if you adjust for all of the inflation and the debasement of the dollar, today gold at $425 is better value than it was at $35 an ounce back in 1971.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, there's just to provide some interesting perspective on this, if I can just give a little bit of an example. You know, there are cycles in the markets, and the markets cycle between financial assets on the one hand and tangible assets on the other. And the other element that comes into play is whether assets are overvalued or undervalued. So if we look back just in over my lifetime, starting in the late 40s and the 50s and 60s, that was a cycle in which financial assets did well. The stock market was booming. Tangible assets were being neglected. But by the late 1960s, people started to realize that the financial assets were overvalued and tangible assets like gold were undervalued, and you saw this major shift out of financials into tangibles, and that shift lasted through the early 1980s, 10,
right.
12 years.
Right.
By the early 1980s, the cycle had changed completely, that tangibles were now overvalued and financials were undervalued, and you saw a major shift again occurring then, starting in 1982. That lasted until 2000 with the peak in the stock market. Financials were overvalued in 2000. Tangibles were undervalued. So we're only 3 or 4 years or so, or 5 years, into a cycle that I think's got another 5, 8, maybe 10 more years left in it, where tangibles are going to outperform financials.
And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Another way of looking at this is that there are cycles in the stock market, just as I was explaining, between tangibles and financials. After a bull market in stocks, in the crash, it takes 1 ounce of gold to buy the Dow Jones Industrials. So, for example, after the 1929 stock market, it shot up to, I think it was 379 at the peak, and then it came all the way down to 35 in the Great Depression, so that 35 on the Dow and 35 was the price of 1 ounce of gold, one for one. In the 1960s, we got the peak in the bull market. It came down in the 1970s, and we were 1-to-1, 800 on the Dow and 800 on an ounce of gold by 1980. And what we've seen this time is we've had another bull market peak in the stock market. We're, in the next 5 to 8 years, going to be 1-to-1 again. 1 ounce of gold buys the Dow. The question is, what's going to happen to the dollar in the meantime? Are we going to have a massive deflation, and the Dow is going to be 1,000 and gold's going to be 1,000? or we're going to have a massive inflation, which is what my guess is, and the Dow is going to be something like 10,000, you know, just go sideways for a few more years.
Right.
And gold climbs from its present price up to 10,000 per ounce, which
right.
sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened in the 1970s.
No, that doesn't sound crazy at all to me.
Yeah, just a question of history repeating.
Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy at all. Now, James, what are your feelings about sort of the risks of using the internet to do transacting? Are you worried about the websites being hacked or the internet being controlled? How do you how are you as a business thinking about those different issues and risks?
Yeah, we've you know, as I mentioned earlier, we wanted to focus on providing assurances of integrity, and we've done everything we could possibly do to cover those, and that includes in terms of the access into the gold money site through secure links, as well as providing, you know, backups in case something were to happen to the island of Jersey.
Uh-huh.
We have backups in Switzerland, so all of the data will remain secure. We have firewalls, extremely complex, very, very secure. It's basically the same type of thing, maybe even a little bit better, than you might find on in terms of online banks. The potential breach of security is not in gold money, but it's with individual users and their computer.
Right. Right.
You have to be very, very careful with your computer, just like you're careful with your wallet.
Right.
If you're sloppy with your wallet, you can lose your money. If you're sloppy with your computer, you could potentially lose money. But let me say that we actually have a number of internal safeguards within gold money to protect against payments. So, for example, in order to make a payment in gold money, what you have to do is you go through the process, say who you want to pay, how much gold or how the gold amount of dollars that you want to pay, and then you get an email PIN code that you have to be by your computer, have access to your email address, and then you put that PIN code into the payment instruction. So it provides another safeguard. Even if you're a little bit sloppy in your computing, these types of things provide a lot of protection for the individuals.
Right.
So we've been very fortunate to have built a strong system with, again, our various business partners, and we feel very comfortable that we have a very secure system. It's been tested. Deloitte & Touche, as part of its annual audit, does various security measures and what they call penetration tests and things of that nature to make sure that our firewalls and data and everything maintains the highest possible integrity.
Now, who's been using the system? You've had a lot of growth, and I'm curious to know where the growth is coming from. Who's using it, and what are they using it for?
Yeah, it's being used in two ways. The greatest use is people who want to diversify out of the dollar. In the United States, it's very difficult to buy foreign currencies as a way of diversifying. It's expensive.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's very cumbersome.
Yeah.
And so as a consequence, the best way for Americans to diversify out of the dollar is to buy precious metals. And so what I recommend to people that they do is go to a search engine like Google, type in buy gold, and look at, you know, a couple of the alternatives that come up, and then make a decision after doing your research as to what's the most comfortable for you. And, you know, I'm not saying put everything into digital gold, but on the other hand, I'm not saying putting everything into coins either. I think you want to have a little bit of a mix and sort of blend that mix in a way that makes sense for you. And so what our greatest use at the moment are people who are buying gold. They're finding it very economical, very convenient, very safe and secure. Buying gold online, having it stored for them through gold money, you know, in London to get the global diversification and all of that. The other thing that's happening is that we're getting a lot of smaller businessmen and even individuals who are using gold money for making payments. So, for example, if you owe $300 to your brother-in-law in Brazil, you could go down to the bank, pay $50, and 3 or 4 or 5 days later, if it doesn't get lost, the money will show up. Or you can go to Gold Money, instantaneously click it from your account to your brother-in-law's account, the gold equivalent of whatever your currency obligation is, for about $1, well, depending on the size of the transaction, the maximum would be $1.30 approximately for the maximum. It's a tremendous savings compared going down to the bank not to mention all the additional convenience. So we've got a lot of people starting to use gold in a an environment where they are preferring to transact with gold rather than transacting through the banking system.
I told you the story when twice now I've hired someone to do a project for Solari and paid them with gold, you know, found out they had a gold money account or asked them to go create a gold money account and then paid them, you know, made the deal, and a minute later they had the money.
Yes.
And one of them said, wow, I just got paid in 30 seconds in gold.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing about gold, and, you know, this was, I first learned this from my experiences living in Asia back in the 1970s, that if you ask people, what would you rather have, gold or dollars? It's not a no-brainer to realize that a lot of people will say, well, I'd rather have the gold.
Right.
You know, it makes a lot of sense.
And although, I made a mistake once because I put some money in. You know, this was during the period when everything went to the lawyers, so I was kind of running on fumes. And the money that I needed for my household expenses, I said, you know, I don't want to put it in dollars. I don't want to put it in the bank, so I put it in gold money. And, you know, the bullion bank guys just slammed the price down hard. And, you know, so gold was volatile. And if you've got payments forward in a currency, then you want to make sure you're hedged enough in that currency because, you know.
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting observations there. When you own gold, you have the price risk, just like
right.
If you own Swiss francs or any other currency, you
absolutely
have the price risk. And in the short term, you do get some volatility. But in the long term, gold preserves its purchasing power. And that's
right.
Why an accumulation plan makes such good sense.
Absolutely.
And to give you an example of this, right now, crude oil looks very, very expensive in dollar terms. But the interesting thing is that the price of a barrel of crude oil today is no more expensive in gold terms than it's been at any time over the past 65 years since the end of Second World War.
Right. I love you. You had that chart at the, you have the comment, the founder's comment at goldmoney.com.
Right.
And you had that wonderful chart showing that was so marvelous article.
And what people have to understand is that you have to calculate prices of goods and services in a variety of different ways, not only looking at things in terms of dollars, but also looking at things in terms of weights of gold.
Yes.
And the way I explain it is just like the international businessman who speaks several languages has a competitive edge, the individual who can calculate in different currencies will also have a competitive edge because you need to do that to truly understand what is happening to the monetary and banking system today.
Right. And, you know, Franklin Sanders always says measure your wealth in ounces.
Yes.
And when I got to see his firm, I said, Franklin, maybe we should measure our wealth in ounces, hooves, and acres.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I think tangibles are the way to go. As I was explaining earlier, this is going to be a cycle that's going to last for a while. And the interesting thing in my own mind is, you know, is this going to be the final cycle where fiat currencies finally blow up? Because just to, you know, get into another aspect here, gold and silver are the money enshrined in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 and 10.
Right.
And that system worked very well for 175 years, in the, you know, the first 175 years of this country. Sure, there were some hiccups, but we don't have the problems like we're seeing today.
Yeah.
These problems that we have today came because we abandoned the wisdom of the framers 30-odd years ago by abandoning the gold standard, and we've created these problems that we have today with fiat currency, the trade deficits.
One of the most frustrating things of being involved in politics in this country is what you find more and more is you have all these different groups who are concerned about a symptom of the absence of sound money but don't understand that the problem that they all share is the absence of sound money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's because, you know, we go to state schools, and state schools
right.
don't teach you about sound money. And see, I learned
I went to a Quaker school, and they didn't, you know, you would have thought the Quakers would have taught us about sound money.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I learned it about sound money as a kid, but because my father was a craftsman,
uh-huh.
not a university graduate, he always told me and my sisters that to complete our education, we would have to go to the university. And the interesting thing is I went to one of the best schools in the country, learned international economics, and was taught how gold was the barbarous relic of the past and had no role to play in the monetary system. And what happened was I graduated in 1969. When gold got to, in the early 70s, the ridiculously high price of $50 an ounce, or what was considered ridiculously high back then, I realized that either what I learned in school was wrong or gold was very overvalued. And I basically stumbled across the Austrian School of Economic Theory, and some of these books are recommended on the website, and re-educated myself. And I realized that, you know, what I had learned from my father as a child was how the world really works.
Right.
And I didn't learn that in school. I learned it from, you know, the school of hard knocks that my father and grandfather had gone through.
Well, I found in this country, craftsmen often have a much better understanding of how things really work.
Yes.
You know, they have to really perform in the marketplace. Well, let's turn to accessing information. How do we at the event resource page, we've listed a number of resources. Most importantly, I want to make sure that everybody knows how the different ways they can stay in touch with you and your work and what you're doing and what you're thinking about. Maybe if you could just touch on the newsletter and your Founders Common at Gold Money and this wonderful book.
Okay. Well, first of all, at Gold Money, any questions relating to Gold Money, we have customer service and support. So feel free to send in any emails or any questions that you may have. I think you'll find, though, that the website has quite significant disclosure, and I highly recommend reading the FAQ, the Frequently Answered Questions, because I think we cover all of the various topics. The book, John Rubino and I wrote it because we wanted to put something out there that people could understand what gold and precious metals are all about.
I have to just tell you, James, I was, before your book came out, I had evolved a sort of standard framework of introducing everyone to this world, and it was very time-consuming. And then when I got your book, I said, oh, this is fantastic. You just saved me about 3 hours a person, and now all I have to do is either send them the book or persuade them to buy it.
Yeah.
It's very accessible.
Yeah, we tried to make it comprehensive, but we also tried to write it so that anybody who picked it up could read it and understand the basics of what money and money is all about, and what gold is all about, and that's what the objective was, and I think we've met that objective.
And the newsletter.
Yes, I write a newsletter as well. I've done this now for I think this is my 18th year. It gets involved in more the day-to-day, week-to-week stuff in terms of the way the markets are moving and things of that nature.
Right. I'm a subscriber, and I have to tell you it's great.
Thank you.
The Street Tracks exchange-traded fund, Fisticuffs, was one of the great...
Yeah. Well,
one of the great soap operas.
If you, since you're a subscriber, you'll know that if I see something wrong... I'm not reluctant to, write about it and explain why it's wrong. And so I do get...
You do have to occasionally hire attorneys to...
Yeah, so as you know, the World Gold Council threatened to sue me, but they had no basis because everything I did was completely factual.
And also you're a consultant to GATA, the Gold Antitrust Action Committee, and I would love for you to just touch... say a few words about GATA, too.
Yeah, GATA is a wonderful organization. Started it, I guess, 6 or 7 years ago by Bill Murphy and Chris Powell. And the purpose of GATA is basically an educational purpose. It's to explain to people how the markets in this country are being managed and not really operating in a free environment, particularly the gold market. And to put this into some kind of historical context, up until the 1960s, central banks managed their currencies in order to fit the value of gold. In other words, they knew what an ounce of gold could purchase, and they had to keep the relationship of their currency tied to gold, and they managed their currencies in that way. But in the 1960s and subsequently, they started grabbing the other end of the stick. In other words, they were managing gold to try to fit the ever-diminishing value of their currencies. Now, in the 1960s, they did this by dishoarding 10,000 tons of gold out of Fort Knox rather than admit that $35 was way too low, that the dollar had become too inflated and too debased to maintain that relationship, which had become untenable. But they tried to maintain that fiction and dishoarded 10,000 tons of gold to do it. GATA's position is that the central banks have done this again today through various surreptitious means, lending gold and doing swaps and things of that nature, and then sort of covered it up. So it's covert rather than overt as it was in the 1960s. But the overwhelming body of evidence, not only things that I've done, but you know that all of the GATA contributors have done, it's just completely overwhelming that the U.S. government is has been managing the gold price. But this is not a reason to be avoiding gold. What the government has done to try to make the dollar look worthy of being the world's reserve currency, they're trying to keep the gold price lower than it would otherwise be. If gold were trading free, its natural level would probably be up around $600, $700, maybe even $800 an ounce, just based on where all other commodities are and things of that nature.
So it's a buying opportunity so long as you're in it for the long term.
It's a tremendous buying opportunity to accumulate assets. And like I was saying before, if you regret not buying it at 35, buy it now at 425 because on a relative basis, it's better value now than it was at $35.71. And you know, it's just a question of accumulating, and I like the dollar cost averaging approach to accumulate over long periods of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let that value be realized, and do it in a way that your assets are safe, stored outside the country, and insured by you know, a first-class insurance company, in this case, Lloyd's.
One of the on the event resource page, we have a couple other books. One in particular that I've just received and am starting to plow my way through from that you put me onto was Pieces of Eight.
Yes.
And I thought you might just mention that since it's such an extraordinary accomplishment.
It truly is. 1,600 pages, 6,600 footnotes. It's a daunting thing, but it was written by my good friend Edwin Vieira, who is this nation's top constitutional lawyer in terms of money and banking. And what it is, it's a wonderful, wonderful account, detailed history of looking through the court system and the political system as to how we moved from what the framers of the Constitution left us to what we have today. And the interesting thing about this is that, you know, the George Santayana, the philosopher's dictum, those who ignore history are doomed to relive it. By abandoning the wisdom of the framers of the Constitution, we're going to go through the same problems that they went through. After the Revolutionary War, we all learned in school about the slogan, not worth a continental, which was the currency of the day. And for that, because the continental created all of this monetary turmoil, they put gold and silver into the Constitution, and it worked well for 175 years. By abandoning that aspect of the Constitution, we're going to have to learn what the framers learned. And I think, you know, our children and grandchildren are going to be talking about not worth a dollar.
You may not remember this, but my company, Hamilton Securities, was named after Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were, you'd come in and there'd be quotes all over the place about, you know, Hamilton writing, persuading the people that we should honor our debts and why.
Yes. Well, it was a different system, you know, 30 and or more years ago than what we have today. And I just don't see any way that the debts are going to be honored.
You know, when you look at how much debt we now are obligated on a per-person basis, whether through government or personally, it takes your breath away. Let's turn, James, to the outlook for the dollar and gold.
Okay.
Are you willing, let's talk a little bit about who's doing this, as I have a friend who always says, who is doing this? Who really has been manipulating the gold and debasing the dollar? Who's really involved in that system?
It's really an unholy alliance between the banks and the government. It's characterized a number of different ways. Some people call it the Wall Street Washington Access. There was a book written a number of years ago by Edward Griffin called The Creature from Jekyll Island, which sort of explains some of the aspects of it. But really what it comes down to is it's a question of, you know, money and power. Governments cannot create gold out of thin air. And as a consequence, you need money to have power. You need money to buy bullets, to put it into euphemistic terms. So what they've done is they've established a relationship with the banking system that enables the banks to create money out of thin air, which the government borrows to buy bullets. That's how the system works.
Right.
And it works to the advantage of the people who are running the system. It doesn't work to the advantage of the American people
ourselves. That's what you described in London as the central banking warfare model.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is what, you know, the framers, you know, one of the checks and balances in the Constitution is to have gold and silver, because that puts the power in the hands of Americans, not in the government or any institutions like the banking institutions.
One of the concerns I have is, you know, many times over the last 2 years I've thought that the price of gold or silver was going to go up, and then, you know, something happens, we have an extreme event, we have a war, and in fact the market doesn't clear through price.
Yes.
You know, we have just incredibly more intervention. You know, one GATA member described the Patriot Act as the Control and Concentration of Cash Flow Act.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So the concern always is that the political controls and warfare will grow, and gold and silver won't be allowed to rise as they should if a market applied.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point, because it goes back to, you know, this management of the price. The reality is governments are doing us a favor by keeping gold so cheap, because as
right.
we generate cash flow in our normal businesses, we can continue to accumulate gold at these exceptionally low levels, and just take this very patient approach, you know, what I call the Warren Buffett approach.
Right.
You buy undervalued assets, and you let the valuation realize itself in time.
Right.
And so what we have is a tremendous opportunity to accumulate these undervalued precious metals and let it be realized. The other thing that accumulating the precious metals accomplishes is it enables us to be much more independent than if we were only reliant upon the fiat currency system.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it's sort of like an ARC, having, you know, your gold account or your gold coins or whatever
yeah.
it is.
My shekels.
Yeah, it's your bedrock asset.
Yeah.
And with
I often say to people, it's money and it's also insurance for the worst case.
Exactly. My philosophy is very simple. Always prepare for the worst, but hope for the best.
Right.
And you need to use gold and silver in its various forms to help you prepare for the worst, just in case the worst does happen, because it is an imperfect world, and the worst does happen from time to time.
Have you in the newsletter this year? Have you given any predictions? Or are you giving any predictions on where you think the market's going to be in 2005?
I'll say that with a little qualifier. What I'm predicting this year is what I predicted last year. I thought we were going to be over $500 last year, and it didn't happen. We got up to 456 or 7, and then we pulled back.
Uh-huh.
But I think we're still going to get over 500. This we had been under $430 an ounce for 16 years, and in November we broke above it, and I thought we were off to the races, you know, that being, you know, something over $500 an ounce. But in fact, you know, the central bank circled the wagons yet once more, and they brought gold back down into the 420s, which is approximately where we are today, with 425. And but they can't break it. They cannot break gold. The reality is that central banks and governments, you know, are indeed powerful, but they're not all powerful. What is all powerful are you and me and everybody else in the marketplace,
right,
who make a decision as to where we want to put our wealth.
Right.
And, you know, everything suggests that people around the world are putting more and more wealth in gold and silver. And is because governments cannot create gold out of thin air, they try to use their hoard and what's left of it, you know, to manage the price, but they cannot create new gold. As a consequence, the market is going to overwhelm them, just like it did in the 1970s.
It's so funny, James, because, you know, as you know, at various times I've been negotiating settlements on my litigation.
Yes.
And the only time they can pressure me is when they slam the price of gold down, and they think, oh, you know, I'd love to buy now.
Yeah.
As we're talking, some wonderful questions have come in. So
okay.
I want to remind our listeners, if you have questions, please send them to info@solari.com. And as we go into our next section, I'll just sneak one in now, and that is, why not digital silver? Is digital silver something you've considered?
Yes, we have considered. There are two parts to that question. First of all, we are going to introduce silver, a silver component into gold money, so you'll have the online convenience of buying and storing silver. But you won't be able to use it as a form of currency. And there are economic reasons for this. It takes 60 times the volume of silver to create the same value of gold. In other words, it takes 60 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. And that creates a different type of economic equation. And it's not practical to use silver as a form of digital currency for that reason. The other thing is that in the physical world, silver emerged because it was a low-value metal, and you had small coins in terms of, you know, silver and things of that nature. It wasn't possible to have a coin of, you know, a $1 a gold coin because it would be so small and so expensive to manufacture. It would be prohibitive. You can do that with the silver dollar. But when you're in an online world where you're working with gold grams and mils, and you can actually spend a weight of gold of 1 mil, which is about 1.3 U.S. Of a penny, you don't need silver as a subsidiary coinage as a payment mechanism. You know, silver has a lot going for it. I'm very bullish on silver as I am on gold, and later this year we're going to offer silver the opportunity to purchase silver online through gold money in the same convenient way you can now purchase and sell gold.
One of the things I wanted to do before we move to the question and answer section is walk you through some of the issues and concerns I get from people when I talk about precious metals. One is that, you know, because I'm oftentimes I say if you want to transform the world, just start buying precious metals. One is that mining and companies and the mining process is harsh on the environment and on communities in the third world. And I'd love it if you could just take a moment to address some of those issues.
Well, it's not the companies, it's the people who are running the companies. Like any other thing in life, you've got good businessmen and you have bad businessmen. That's true in the gold industry, it's true in banks. If the proper procedures are not done, you can have some adverse environmental impact. But the reality is that by far the preponderance of the businesses that are involved in mining, they're very, very good corporate citizens, very concerned about environmental issues making sure that people are paid and have an equitable compensation.
One of the hardest things I have explaining to people who don't have a financial background is that the impact of fiat currency on the environment has been far more hideous than mining.
Yes, that's very true. There was a wonderful book written by guy by the name of Paul Einzig in London in the 1960s, and his prediction was that the environment will suffer as a consequence of fiat currency.
Really?
What fiat currency does is it disrupts the sound economic decision-making process to go for short-term gains rather than long-term consequences, and that's what really destroys the environment.
Right. The other one, as you know, is the IMF gold sales, which had me seething and spitting and steaming.
Yes.
The notion that this would be something that was good for the poor.
Yes.
Maybe you could address that.
Well, central bankers tell you what they want you to hear, and they jawbone gold down because it's easier for them to try talking down the gold price than it is to give up some of their precious hoard and put the metal into the market and make the gold price go down because of selling. So they will tell you what they want you to hear, and to say that they're helping poor nations by selling gold is just complete nonsense. There are 27 countries in Africa on the highly indebted program of the International Monetary Fund, and something like 21 of them are gold producers
and have been slammed by this.
Yeah, and in some cases the gold is one of their major forms of export earnings that they can use to purchase things from abroad like oil and things of that nature. So to say that this is helping these poor countries is just completely wrong. It's an outright lie. And, I don't want to get into some of the accounting issues that are involved, but you don't have to sell gold to write off an asset. You just write the asset off without, doing all of the other kind of things that the central bankers are proposing. At the end of the day, though, you have to remember the propaganda that comes out from central bankers is just that. It's propaganda.
Right.
I like to explain it by saying that central bankers, in the end, can't fix the price of gold any more than they can fix the price of a Picasso painting. And the reason is that it's the market that determines how valuable Picasso paintings are.
Right.
And it's the market that determines how valuable gold is.
I have to say, though, given my experience with the federal credit, they have created a mechanism that will let them get the longest run they've ever had, I think.
This is the longest run in history for fiat currency.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean fiat currency is going to be here tomorrow.
No, I just think that when this fiat currency goes down, it's going to go down with a big bang.
Yeah, it is. And it could be a tragedy for people who don't take the steps to prepare for the
exactly.
worst. And
exactly.
that was part of the thinking in terms of the book. You know, people who are recognizing, honest, everyday citizens who are trying to, you know, keep their head above water and protect for themselves and their family. You know, how do you deal in this world? It's very, very difficult in a world of fiat currency, because if you understand the currency and what's happening, you have an unfair advantage over those who don't understand how the currency
right.
works. And that's why my friend Jay Taylor used an example that the 330 partners of Goldman Sachs made more money than the 1.2 million people living in the Bronx a couple of years ago.
Right.
Because they understood, the Goldman Sachs guys understood, you know, what's happening to the currency and how they can take advantage of it.
I used to work at Goldman Sachs, and I can assure you it wasn't based on productivity.
Yeah. And this is, again, something understood by the framers of the Constitution as to why they wanted gold and silver to be the currency of this country.
We're launching, James, next month, the Solari Investor Circles with the Solari Investor Solari Teleseminar.
Yes.
And two of the first model transactions we're going to highlight are our monthly savings plan, one in physical gold and silver, and the other in digital gold. And part of it is, as I travel around the country, I have so many people tell me, well, I'm not an investor. I can't afford to save. And I think it's very important to create that intention. And I say, well, you know, if 10 people got together and you each put in a little bit, you could do a monthly savings acquisition plan for precious metals.
Absolutely.
And it's a way to start to learn. I'm a great believer, if you want to understand sound money, you just need to start transacting.
Yeah, that's like anything. You in order to learn about something, you have to do it.
Right.
And it's very true with, money and currency and sound money. And, with gold money, you can accumulate as little as 50 bucks a month. There's an important principle, too, that you're bringing up. To really protect yourself, savings are a very, very important thing. And it's sad in this country that our savings rate has deteriorated to what it is, but what this is a consequence of is people don't save anymore because the dollar is just constantly losing value.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to save dollars, but it does make sense to save gold.
Right. Well, let's turn and go through some of the questions.
Okay.
And there's some amazing ones, as always, from our group. Again, if you have questions, please send them to info@solari.com. And Christina will post some of them. There's one I love, a listener's background check on the vaults. I have an account with Gold Money. I actually called Viamat International and asked them if the amount of gold that Gold Money claimed was indeed in the vault. They confirmed that it was indeed there and the amount specified on the website.
Yes.
You passed the test.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do this every quarter. We post on the website the actual report that we receive from the vault. And the other thing that we do is we post the actual report that we receive from the database manager. Again, you know, these are two different companies that are part of our process, and the vault weight of gold is always equal to the gold grams that the database manager is managing. So it shows that it's all of the gold that is in your account does in fact exist in the vault for you individually as well as in the aggregate for the entire system.
Okay, now two listeners have asked the same question here. What if there is suddenly no Internet? How would we access our gold without access to the Internet?
Yeah, that's a good question. We've had this asked to us a number of times, and what we are in the process of doing, and we will have this in place later in the year, is if the Internet were out for some kind of prolonged period, you know, months, you're going to have access through telephone and fax lines.
Okay. And
there's another aspect to it as well that we're working on, that you'll have distribution points if you want to take physical gold and coins and bars. And I'm working on something that hopefully will be in place in the not-too-distant future, 6 to 8 months down the road.
Okay. What determines whether a person is charged 1.9% above spot or 3% above spot when depositing money into the gold money account? When you answer this, James, I need you to describe, Franklin did, but again, what spot is.
Spot is the current rate at which dollars and gold are exchanging for one another, or gold and euros are exchanging for one another. All of the currencies are constantly being traded 24/7 around the world. And just like the euro is exchanged for so many pounds or so many dollars are exchanged for so many Swiss francs, gold also has an exchange rate at any moment in time. The last transaction is essentially the spot rate, or what's referred to as the spot rate. It's the last price at which gold was sold or bought for. And the markup is the bid and the ask. It's the normal spread that you would pay if you're buying a foreign currency. Say you wanted to go to London for 3 weeks and you wanted to buy 1,000 pounds, you have to pay the margin, the spread. The difference in the spread depends on a number of things. The 1.9% is the spread on the gold accumulation plan, which regardless of the size of the transaction, it's always 1.9%. So if you want to buy $50 worth of gold every month, you're paying 1.9% effectively as a fee, which is like, what is that, 95 cents to buy $50 worth of gold. The large trend, depending on the size of the transaction and the status of the account, how much gold you have in it, there is, and it's all explained on the very first page of the website, what the actual rate that you pay when you're actually buying gold. Now, typically, if you're buying coins, you're paying anywhere from 4, 5, in some cases, 6 or 7% over spot, depending on the size of the transaction. The maximum rate that you would pay over spot in gold money is 2.99%. And if for large transactions, it's under 1%. So that actually compares favorably to what you would have to pay to buy British pounds or euros or foreign currency from your local bank.
The next question is, does gold money differ in any ways from eGold.com? And I would ask when you respond, if you could go through what are the other digital gold companies?
Yeah. The difference is night and day. you know, we built gold money that it's a system that I would want to use. It's got all of the assurances of integrity. It's got all of the governance. It's got the Lloyd's insurance. It's got all of the protections, the firewalls, and safety, and things like that. eGold was the first on the scene. They had an initial launch, and they achieved some success. But they sort of took the wrong path, in my view, and they've basically gone nowhere while gold money has far surpassed them. We are by far much larger than eGold. And there are two other smaller ones, one's called eBullion and another one called Pecunix. These are copycat systems to try to emulate what gold money is doing. There have also been some systems that have gone bankrupt. One called Standard Reserve, which was part of the eGold group, went bankrupt. Another one called OzGold collapsed. And there are a couple of other out there that look to be fraudulent. So like anything else you do, you always have to investigate before you buy and you know, be very, very careful before you send somebody money.
I was sitting at one conference and listening to over eavesdropping to a group of people talking, and one said, well, you know, I mean, you could leave your money with the Bank of England or you could leave it with Turk, and, you know, nothing's perfect, but frankly, I trust Turk more than the Bank of England. I thought that was a good assessment of our choices. Now, here's a very interesting question, and this comes up a lot when you talk about precious metals. One is there any procedure where individual retirement vehicles may be used to purchase gold money within an IRA or 401k brokerage account?
At the moment, there's not. We get this question all of the time, and we're trying to figure out some way of and making this happen. At the moment, there's no way to do that, but it is on our list of priorities. I don't have an immediate solution, but we are working on it.
Catherine seems to be implying that it's possible that gold could always stay low. Do you see that as a possibility?
Well, in the real world, anything is possible. I just don't see that happening. The problems that we have with our present monetary system have become so severe. The ability of central banks to maintain and manage this low gold price are so stretched that I really don't think we've got much longer. You know, eventually, just like it happened back in the late 60s and the early 70s, eventually the central bankers have to throw in the towel. They did it back then. They're going to do it again now. And also look at what's happened over the last 3 years. Gold is up 3 years in a row with an average rate of return of 13% per annum. What other asset class has done that with essentially the low risk that you get from gold?
Right. At the end of the year, it was up 52% from the beginning of 98, and the S&P 500 was down 1.5%. So.
Yeah. And that goes back to the one-to-one relationship between the Dow. I've been recommending for the past few years, stay out of the Dow, except for maybe specialty issues like some mining stocks and commodity producers and things like that. Just keep your liquidity parked in gold. And when you can buy the Dow Jones Industrials for 1 ounce of gold like you could back in the 30s and in the early 1980s, then you want to spend your gold and go back into stocks. But we're not anywhere close to that. So the answer to the question is, governments are powerful, but they're not all powerful. And as a consequence, gold will reflect all of the monetary illness that we have today in this country and worldwide, for that matter.
Here's one. If Congress bows to public pressure to reverse presidential policy of exporting jobs to China and Japan via, quote, free trade agreements, the receipts of which finance U.S. fiscal and trade deficits, what is your prediction for the price of gold should China and Japan stop propping up the dollar via long bond purchases and perhaps commence gold purchases?
Yeah. I used to live in Asia, and if you went to anywhere in Asia and said that gold's not money, they would think that you landed from Mars. Because, you know, of course gold is
money. Boy, that is true.
It's intuitive. It's cultural. It's second nature to them. If the Chinese were buying gold instead of mopping up these dollars, gold would already be sky high. So it implies to me that there's probably been some kind of a temporary agreement that the Chinese exchange rate to the dollar, as both the U.S. government and the Chinese government have tacitly agreed to allow it at this level to keep the Chinese government from buying gold. But even having said that, the Chinese government actually has been buying gold. They've reported increases to the International Monetary Fund in their gold holdings, which is very, very interesting because things in Asia happen for a reason. And the fact that 3 years ago they started showing these increases in their gold holdings may be a message to the U.S. government that the Chinese are no longer happy with the dollar being the world's reserve currency.
Well, if that de-link happens, that's the average American household is now very dependent on low-cost goods from China if they de-link.
Imagine what's going to happen to Walmart. If the Chinese yuan revalues 20, 30, 40%, all those goods are going to go up in terms of the prices. That's going to really hit the consumer.
Very hard.
Very, very hard, exactly.
Yeah, and it's probably going to hit at the same time you have rising interest rates, so they're going to get double whammied.
Plus, we already see the rising gasoline prices.
Right.
So it's all coming, just like it did in the 70s. You know, history's repeating here. We've got another 5 to 8 years yet of what happened in the 70s still to come.
The couple more questions. Does Gold Money offer referral fees for members who refer new clients?
We've, in some instances in the past, where organizations bring members of their organization into it, we've had some discussions like that, and we're always happy to entertain it, any proposals. So, you know, feel free to contact customer support with any of your ideas or questions in that regard.
Okay. And there's one question I love, and it's an interesting one since you live in New Hampshire. And
yes.
Here we go. If one had to choose between, one, investing in solar panels for their house, two, purchasing more fuel-efficient cars, three, purchasing bigger land to grow food on, four, converting available cash to gold, what would you recommend?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Isn't that a tough question?
Yeah. You know, one could say converting available cash to gold gives you more options because then you have the flexibility of spending that gold at a future moment in time when you need the solar panels or the other things you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, people, this touches upon something that, you know, it's probably useful to bring up. People see the house, their house as an investment. I think that's incorrect. You really have to look at your house as an expense and don't consider it to be part of your portfolio.
Right.
So I would say that, you know, generally speaking, I personally would feel more comfortable owning more gold than I would solar panels. But, you know, I've got various backup systems for my place in New Hampshire just in case the grid goes out. But I think it really comes to wealth. Accumulating wealth is necessary to as the first step. Saving and, you know, gold is probably the way to go.
One more question. Have the powers that be, governments and banks, shown any indication that they view digital gold as an adversary? If they did, what would the early warning signs be?
I've seen nothing like that. We've done a lot of legal work, not only in the States but elsewhere, to establish that gold money and digital gold currency is a legal concept. In fact, we wouldn't have received the patent for it back in the 1990s if it were anything illegal. But, again, we don't operate in the United States. We've chosen Jersey, British Channel Islands, to operate from because it's a politically neutral location. So I would say at this moment, you know, gold money is so small that we're really not on anyone's radar screen. But as we become bigger, I think the way we position gold money as a neutral tool in global commerce, particularly cross-border commerce, it will be difficult for any government to...
One of the things we're in the process of doing is putting together a syndicate, or what some people call an affiliates program, on the Solari teleseminars for websites who help us market.
Yes.
And we're trying to determine whether it's possible to pay everybody through gold money, because as we deal with websites all around the world, it's so much easier if you have one universal form of money and payments.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, what I'm working on with a couple of the gold mining companies, Durban Roodepoort Deep, which is a big South African mining company and is a shareholder and investor in gold money, they're going to be putting bars of gold into the vault and using that gold to pay some of their suppliers. And their suppliers have already asked their suppliers whether they're willing to accept gold. And it's quite interesting to find that there's a lot of gold coming into circulation because people would rather work with gold because of the safety of gold and the low cost of transacting in gold money compared to the banking system. That if you start accepting gold in payment, you'll find that people will accept gold that you have to pay, you know, your suppliers, and that's how gold stays in circulation.
Well, we're hoping that it's something that the network is receptive to.
Well, I'd be very happy and very pleased to work with Solari and the Solari communities, you know, helping each other. You know, you using gold money and me doing whatever the communities may need to make gold money work effectively for them.
That would be wonderful. And I know I've mentioned this to you many times, is that there's tremendous interest in community currencies and how to use precious metals in association with those. And I think it's just in very early stages. But as I drive around the country, James, it's incredible that interest is coming from people's intuitive understanding that the currency is draining them.
Yes, I think people intuitively know that the system is broken.
Right.
And the natural reaction is to go to your local community and find support among your local community to figure out the problem and possible solutions. And I think that as you look into it, I think gold and silver are the logical solution. It's what the framers of the Constitution had in mind, and it worked so well for 175 years. It's a shame that we abandoned it in this country.
Well, James, I can't thank you enough for doing this. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. You've been working on this for decades.
It's been a pleasure, Catherine.
And
you know, if you want to do this again in the future, I'd be happy to participate.
It's really
anytime.
Coming to its in its own. I'll just quickly mention, because we're going to turn to Ileana in the invocation, our next Solari teleseminar will be on April 21st, Economics 101, and then on May 5th, from the KM Theater in downtown Kalispell, Montana, we're launching Solari Circles 101. Very exciting. You'll hear more. And so for closing, Ileana, can we invite you to lead us in our invocation?
Indeed. Good evening, everyone. Just want to take a moment to invite you all to come to the place inside of your own self where that which is solid and is the foundation of truth in your life lives. And to connect into that, to bring yourself to the place where the gratitude for what is being given to us every day lives. For every resource and the true currency of all of life, which is love and trust and goodwill among people. Care for the earth, and for our children, and for our future. And so together as a group of human beings learning how to love one another and serve one another in times of uncertainty, just take a moment to bless everyone in this circle. And then stretch your heart out from there to bless the world. So that together by walking in ways of integrity and mutual care, we can lift up this planet and make it a heaven on earth. Just bless all of your decisions and all of your transactions, that they be a reflection of your deepest truth linked into the oneness of all. And have a good evening.
Good night, Ileana. Thank you so much.